Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph, and I will speak to you next week.
Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg.
What do you read, my lord?
Words.
Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Good morning and welcome to Bookworm, as my introduction said. And today I'll be talking with the author of Prisoner 1056, How I Survived War and Found Peace. So he will be talking about issues of race and how he managed to find a better way of life. So I hope you'll enjoy that. But first I'll have a little bit of news. And according to the CBC, Manitoba Anishinaabe senator and lawyer Murray Sinclair has died at the age of 73, early on Monday morning. He led the Truth and Reconciliation Commission investigating the impact of residential schools on the students and families of the people who went there. Sinclair was a member of the Pequis First Nation and was raised by a Cree grandfather and Ojibwe grandmother following his mother's death from a stroke. He was known as a very good listener who treated everyone with respect. And then, according to the BBC, the city of Barcelona, Spain, was hit by significant flooding yesterday following the devastating floods that have caused at least 217 deaths in Valencia last week. More than 80 flights from the Barcelona airport have been cancelled or delayed, and rail services have been suspended. Meanwhile, rescuers are searching for people in underground parking areas in Valencia, which received a year's worth of rain in just a week. So that's the news for today. Then in events, Mary Jane Logan McCallum book launch at McNally Robinson Booksellers, Grand Park location, on Thursday, November 7th. That's the day after tomorrow, at 7 p.m. And that's at the atrium and also streaming on YouTube. So here it says, join Mary Jane Logan McCallum for the launch of Brown Tom's School Days by Enos Montour, University of Manitoba Press. Mary Jane and host Jill McConkie will discuss Montour's unjustly neglected classic, and in honor of Montour, who loved to write and loved when editors read his writing, talk about the tricky, funny, awkward ins and outs of a successful author-editor relationship. A book signing will follow. And that's at the atrium of McNally Robinson Booksellers in Grant Park and also available as a YouTube stream. Then this isn't exactly a book launch, but the Manitoba Writers Guild is inviting people who have recently published a book to launch their literary achievement in the artistic surroundings of Winnipeg's thriving exchange district. And that is... All of our members, whether self-published, indie press-published, or traditionally published, are eligible. If you are interested in learning more about the program or launching your book with Manitoba Writers Guild, please email mwgbooklaunch@gmail.com. So that's mwgbooklaunch, all one word, at gmail.com. So if any of you have taken the opportunity of extra time or when you were locked up, for the pandemic, if you were writing then and now have a book that you want to publish or you have published, be sure to check out the Manitoba Writers Guild. So, and in today's weather as well, according to the weather from the University of Winnipeg, the Department of Geography, it's currently 0 degrees, and the forecast for today is a high of 1 degree and a low of minus one. The humidity is 92%, so it feels like minus two, and just a little bit of rain, but it looks like it should be a fairly nice day. And so, also according to Environment, the Government of Canada, Environment Canada, from the Forks, for Tuesday, November 5th, the high will be 6 degrees and sunny, and then overnight minus three and a few clouds. Then Wednesday, November 6th, mainly cloudy and 3 degrees, and then overnight minus five with cloudy periods. On Thursday, November 7th, 6 degrees and sunny, and overnight minus 1 degree and clear. Friday, November 8th, 9 degrees and sunny, and then 3 degrees overnight and clear. So that's the forecast for the next little while. And now maybe I'll play a little bit of music. So this is from the album The Super Concert, which advertises or designates itself as over 70 minutes of the world's greatest melodies by people like Rimsky-Korsakov and Mendelssohn and other people. So maybe I'll play a little bit of, I'll see which one comes up, so I hope you'll enjoy it. So that was the prelude, or the overture to Carmen by Bizet. So now I'll be having an interview with a writer named Roy Rutnavel, who wrote a book called Prisoner 1056, a memoir of some events in his life, and the subtitle is How I Survived War and Found Peace. So I'll just say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. Thanks. So, I'm sorry, I'm having a few technical problems, but, so can you tell me a little bit about the book and how you came to write it?
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for having me. In my 30s, perhaps, maybe around 35 or 36, I knew I would one day write a book about being terrorized as a young boy who experienced a brutal civil war in Sri Lanka, and then transformed in Canada in his late teens and early 20s. I want to tell the world this survivor story, a Tamil voice survival story per se. I wanted this book to give a voice to a generation of Tamil immigrants who are coming of age now in Canada and other Western nations, and to tell the untold story of them and their parents leaving Sri Lanka and their experiences prior to arriving on friendlier shores to build a better future. And that's why I wanted to write this book. It's to really to tell the collective story of the Tamil immigrant experience.
So if I understand correctly, in Sri Lanka, the Tamil people are very much persecuted or mistreated. Is that right?
Yeah, Sri Lanka, just to give the listeners a background, Sri Lanka was a former colony of Great Britain, got its independence in 1948, and the country consists of, two ethnic groups, Tamils, about 18% of the population, the minority and the majority being the Sinhalese, and Indians are mostly Buddhist, the Tamils are mostly Hindu, and so when the British left, intentionally or unintentionally, they left behind a divided nation. And when the country, under democratic rule, the majority rules the minority, and from there on, the majority constantly discriminated against the minority based on language and culture. So every aspect of the economic future was derailed, and which led to eventually a race riot in 83, which killed over 3,000 Tamil minority. And then the war broke out, lasted for 30 years, and consumed many lives along the way.
And what lessons has the past taught you?
Well, I learned that despair could become a doorway. Though past events are unchangeable, they can serve an important lesson in overcoming struggles in life to strive for the future. When we are no longer able to change a situation per se, we are challenged to change ourselves. And you can't trip over what's behind you. You have to let the past go, otherwise it will pull you down. Perspective is literally the key to how one fares in life. At the end of the day, all you can control in life is how you respond to life. So when I came to Canada at the age of 18, by myself, not knowing the culture of this country, never have traveled outside Sri Lanka, my birthland, you know, I had to figure out a way to learn, change, assimilate in this great land to take the maximum advantage of the opportunities given to me by this free nation to build a life for myself so that my next generation will not suffer as consequences they suffered in the hands of a totalitarian regime. So I'm very thankful for Canada, and not just me, many like me who came from many parts of the world, not just from Sri Lanka, but really having a country that is in harmony regardless of people of different culture, languages, and way of living coming together under one common goal. So to me, that is refreshing to see, and that's one of the lessons I learned.
And could you tell us a little bit about your journey from, you started out in the mailroom of business, and then you rose in the ranks until you were in the boardroom. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when I came to Canada, I had no skills. I didn't really speak English that well. So I did very few low to mid-level jobs, just like anyone else, you know, cleaning buildings and being a security guard, working in factory, and numerous jobs like that. And one day I was cleaning a building, Scotiabank building at Bay Street at King. And if anyone knows the downtown core really well, we'll know exactly what that building is. I believe it's 44 King Street West. And I was in a building and I saw an executive's office and rather large, much bigger than the apartment I was living in. And I thought maybe I should aspire to be one of those. And so I secured a job in the mailroom on Bay Street in a small asset management company. And from there, I did really well, and I was in numerous different jobs within the company. And it was a small little firm, 1989. Then I secured a junior sales role, which got me to move to Vancouver in 1998. Then I became the senior VP and the head of Western Canada. So I basically covered from Winnipeg to Victoria, so it's a rather large area. And in 2016, I moved back to Toronto and became the head of distribution, executive VP of the firm, and then became the vice chairman and retired August of last year from the industry after having a successful career in the asset management business for over 3 decades. And now I am mentoring and consulting and doing things that I want to do without being subject to a reverse schedule per day.
Fred, that's been quite a story that you've managed to rise in the ranks and become, well, basically become very successful in your adopted country.
Well, the thing is that nobody wins alone. Everybody needs support and help, and I've met so many amazing Canadians here from the time I arrived who have helped me with my schooling, my, even one of my former boss bought me furniture when I couldn't afford to have a desk or chair to sit and study. People have encouraged me to go to university to get a degree. Family, I met a wonderful young lady who I got married to in support of my life and vice versa. And so I think it is important to have co-workers, colleagues, family, friends, in a country that actually respects people's individuality and rights and freedom. So I think that as much as trying to take the credit for my success, I do believe that part of the reason I was able to get here is because many other inputs along the way.
It's always important to remember the people who've helped along the way. And you mentioned freedom and I was wondering why you decided to dedicate this book to freedom and democracy.
Yeah, I mean listen, democracy is messy, but of all the systems we know, it is far better than anything else there in the making. So I dedicated the book to freedom and democracy because my appreciation for both is boundless. From my teenage experience in Sri Lanka, I know full well that it is far easier to lose your freedom than to attain it. In many parts of the world, people are seeking freedom and democracy, and so I wanted people in Western countries to understand and protect this basic human right and not to take it for freedom for granted. And I do see that sometimes people seem to think that get your freedoms and freedom of speech. And I actually think freedom and democracy are non-negotiable Western values. This is core to our identity as a Canadian, and as Canadians, I should say. And we must all die on this hill. Once you take that away from an individual, then you're looking at Sri Lanka. And I don't think we will ever hope to have restrictive laws that prevent freedom of speech and takes away democratic rights.
countries, and have you seen any indications that Canada might be heading in the way that Sri Lanka has gone, or does it still seem as if freedom and democracy are fairly firm here?
I don't want to sound psychic to actuating anything, but I do see, since the time I got here in 1988 to now, so about 30-plus-5 years later, the direction in which Western nations, including Canada, are heading is not a direction that we want to go. I think there has been many instances of restriction of speech, where there's not social media. I understand hate speech, and that is not allowed, but it seems like government or tech firms are trying to muzzle people from questioning authorities or having a different opinion. And those kind of trends that I see today is not is where we want to go. Hopefully, things will sort of hit an equilibrium and turn around, and I'd stay that way. But I think, freedom of speech is not freedom of speech unless someone you don't like tells you what you don't want to hear. And that isn't guaranteed, then freedom of speech means nothing. If you want to hear what you want to hear, then that's not freedom of speech. So I think we need to, even just politically, I think, sadly, because of social media today, everybody's kind of put into the own little bubbles. And I'm guilty of that too, because the algorithm takes you to the information that you are generally agreeing with. So if there's a confirmation bias. And I'm always a fan of dealing with people who wouldn't just validate my beliefs, but evolve my beliefs. And I think that's when you have a cohesive society where you can have people of opposite political spectrum or view in any topic, so you can actually learn and listen and respect even your opponent. And because really, at the end of the day, to improve is to change. And I think we should all understand that if I'm only hanging out with people who validate my belief, then I don't think I'm going to be able to learn. And part of the lessons I learned in Canada is really simulating with the mainstream culture and learning other people's beliefs and culture and eating their food. And I have many friends across the prairies. My favorite food is, every time I come to Winnipeg, I eat pierogies, and I love it. And I think that is what happens when people can, at a core of it, we are all the same. When you break down the walls, I think the core of it, we are all the same. We all want the same thing for our families and to ourselves. And so that's basically the theme within the book, that I talk about my travel across Western Canada and meeting people look different to me, think different than me, and came from a different culture to really appreciate, understand what this country is at the core of it all.
So that would be the key message that you want to convey in your book, or are there other messages that you'd like people to...
No, that is the key message, because though this book is about suffering, but it's really about success, and it is about human resiliency, and human spirit can be broken, but not that easily. And when I came here as a kid who was completely lost and broken, and to today, to here as a man, a middle-aged man with a family and reasonably good success in life, I look back and I think about emotionally about what happened. And the book is really about the journey of one person, but the journey of many. And there are common traits within humanity that we should all embrace, and that's what I'm trying to hit at, which is about really about Canada and what a great nation that we live in, despite its flaws, and no country is perfect, but that I can tell people who have born here, they grew up here, that what's outside here is a million times worse than what we have here, so we should embrace it, protect it. Really, the message is to leave this country better than we have found it, and as really in love with her to Canada.
Well, that's a very interesting way of putting it, and it seems to, from reading your book, it seemed to me that you really love Canada and what you got from here. And maybe especially...
How could I not love Canada? Give me a second lease on life.
Well, yes, that's a great way of putting it. And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, like I said, you know, sometimes you break down the barriers to see someone as purely as human. Then that feeling can unite people beyond race, religion, and other superficial markers. In fact, as I said, that is the theme running through my book, and that is the key message it conveys. So I really encourage the listeners to pick up a copy. You can buy it on Amazon. It was published by Penguin Random House, and it became a number one national bestseller, and it was endorsed by our former late Right Honorable Brian Mulroney, and it was fitting that he gave the endorsement because he was the Prime Minister when I came to Canada. His immigration policies that brought me here on a compassionate basis, along with many thousands of us who have in turn contributed to this nation, to the enriched nation, as well as to make it more progressive going forward. And there's also audio version of this book. If you are not a reader but a listener, you can download that on Audible Canada. And I hope you enjoy the book, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me. So this has been Roy Retneval, who wrote Prisoner 1056, How I Survived War and Found Peace. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Have a terrific day.
Thanks, and you too. Bye. So I hope that you enjoyed the interview there. And coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, which will be just in a few minutes. So this was a lot about democracy and about human rights, this book, Prisoner 1056. So I hope you'll stay tuned and have a good week.
Campus Community Radio.
You're tuned to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg Radio, made possible by generous listener support.
So there's a little bit of problem with some of the computer functions here, but I'll just get my outro here in a moment, and then it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Have a great day and a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.